know that I'm at a table with a whole lot of people who I see to be protectors of hip-hop culture in a time, you know, when it's no longer in our hands. And it's also encouraging to be in a room full of people who have that concept of reclaiming the media, because I feel like that's necessary and important right now in this time. And just studying the history of black music in this culture, whether it's rock, jazz, blues, it's like you get this 30-year time span where you're allowed to do your music before it gets marketed, commodified, watered down, and the next youth culture basically has to create something out of necessity just, you know, to have their voice out there. So I feel like we're in a really important time in hip-hop history, you know what I mean? And I feel like what Bambaataa and what a lot of the pioneers of hip-hop culture did differently that's really important is they basically defined it as a culture with certain elements and certain principles. And I just think that's real important for people to know about. And yeah, that's my two cents. I don't want to take up too much time. Word.
Yeah, let's see. I think that there's a real necessity right now to kind of re-educate the elders of our community that there's more to hip hop than what they hear on radio and see on MTV, because what you hear on the radio and what you see on MTV for the most part is, you know, very well off stockholders and businessmen, cutthroat businessmen being like, how can we make the most money in the shortest amount of time by exploiting, a product. And that product comes from a hip-hop product, seems to come from these neighborhoods that don't have the resources to be able to, you know, support their own products and build that economy for themselves. So I think that I think it's really important that all of us sitting here today realize that there is more out here to hip-hop, and hip-hop has been defaced by those very businessmen, who are trying to cut that profit, and the only reason that that's even happened is because there's not enough resource in these neighborhoods to be able to sustain itself. And so I think that I was falling off my chair. I'm just really excited about the possibility of the people that I see up here on this panel and the community at large in Seattle, because I feel like New York has had its time, and LA has had its time, and Chicago's had its time, and the South has had its time, and Seattle is right now, and I think that the Northwest, excuse me, and I think that there's a lot of power in the movement that we're on right now, and whether it's like teaching artists, you know, and arts education through hip hop and whatever, I just think that it's a very, very potent time. And I appreciate everybody being here and listening to, you know, what we have to say, because I think that we as a hip hop community are trying to hold it together without it being exploited by those same people that's happened in all those other cities. And so, yeah, I think it's about, you know, nobody in the neighborhoods that I work in, and that I grew up in, nobody knows what 91.3 or 90.3 is. And they don't know that those radio stations exist. And I think that having hip-hop programs like, what's that called on Sunday night? Sulu Radio. They got the Sulu Radio, and then they got Street Sounds. You know, they got some, you know, that Street Sounds is a decent show, is a decent hip-hop show. But nobody in the hood, the kids that I work with, don't know what that is. They don't know what that is on the dial. They know 93.3 and they know 104.5. And 104.5 is coming from Mercer Island. And much respect to 104.5, because they have a hip-hop show, a hip-hop station. But I think that it's on people like us in this room right here to be able to create that programming that can re-educate the elders of the community that hip-hop is more than, you know, what you're seeing, it's a lot more, and what it is power. And I think that, I don't want to go over my time limit, but I think that I wrote something down that I wanted to say, and I think that because it's a voice, the hip-hop can be is a voice of an oppressed people, there's a natural inherent kind of resistance from, you know, from these corporations and these businesses to to embrace and empower the true message that's coming from the neighborhood, right? So you have these kids who are trying to say one thing, but the only thing that's getting amplified is something that's safe and can make money and that people can dance to and stuff like that. So peace to everybody up here. Let's do that.
I feel like I could probably talk forever, yeah. But I'm just gonna come at it from the angle of a woman because I am.
Yes.
And also just start out with the fact that hip hop to me saves lives, it educates, it empowers, right. It's a grassroots movement. It's a mentality of people who wanna do something or wanna say something and they have to do it themselves. I'm an audio engineer, a music producer, a DJ, a B-girl, which is a break dancer, breaker, a teacher, an activist. I have a radio show. Like, we all do everything. All these people up here do 8 million things for hip hop. So then hip hop becomes you, like, you're not just going to a job, you're living it. So just coming from that angle, it is lonely being a female. I'm not gonna say it's easy, I'm not gonna say it's hard. It definitely has its ups and its downs. I teach a lot of all women classes, and what I've noticed is that society itself and community support sometimes is not there. And just like everybody slips through the cracks, women often slip through the cracks. And there's been a lot of times when I wanted to give up, but I can't, like I just can't. I just keep going, and that's what I'm trying to teach other people as well, that if you have the desire to do something and the motivation and your spirit is calling you to do that, that you need to take those steps, pursue it, and not take no for an answer, because I've been told no millions of times and I'm still here.
My number one goal with the Cool Out Network. We call it a network because we work with anybody. We do our TV show, but we also do a lot of nonprofit work. My producer, Giorgio Brown, just received an award from the mayor for his work in the community, specifically through hip hop. I tell everybody, you wanna save a generation, give them a mic and an amp. I mean, really, you want to save a whole generation of people, give them a mic and an amp, whether they're a clothing designer and they want to do a fashion show, whether they're an MC, a break dancer, an activist, no matter what you do, you give them a mic and an amp and you will save their lives. I see it time and time again with youth in the justice side of things, that just if they had something to do that one afternoon, they wouldn't have been robbing that store, being with somebody that did something stupid. You don't know, Matt, how many youth just get incarcerated because they were with a homie that did something dumb. They had nothing to do with it, but if they were not on that corner that afternoon, if they were at home with a mic and an amp, you could have saved their lives. What we do at Cool Out TV is we give a voice to the unheard. We focus on unrepresented artists. That means the ones you're not gonna see on BET. You don't know how many times we turn down interviews from major artists. We actually turn them down because we would rather be at the lo-fi filming Silent Land projects than filming 50 Cent at the Showbox. We constantly do that. We lose money for doing that because I won't accept ads from a beer company.